Hola, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia. And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners, following our dreams, just striving to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right, and we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
And I was jumping on the waves with Carista, and it was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. We get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
She stopped me right there. She was like, Brisa, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what kind of mom he wanted. And he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's really nice.
We're all sisters here to inspire, support, and guide each other to dream bigger and to enjoy every moment of this extraordinary journey that is womanhood. ¿Listas?
Here we go.
Super Mamas!
Hi, Super Mamas. This is Bricia. And this week in the show, we have Chef Claudette Cepeda of Rice and Shine Restaurant Group in San Diego. This woman is badass. Just all around inspiring, self-made. My goodness, she is going to school you guys on life today. No joke. She puts us through mom boot camp, and you guys are going to have to listen, take notes, and of course, enjoy the show.
Hello. Hello.
How are you, sisters?
Welcome to the 101 episode.
It's like about todo el entusiasmo del.
I know. It's like 101. Nah, 101 is cool. Nah, it's like a whole new era.
It's like season two, maybe?
Season two. The next 100 episodes. Well, you know, I put a post saying, like, what kind of things would you like to hear?
Mm-hmm.
We have, like, a bunch of new things that people want to listen to. So,
congratulations to all the winners.
Yay!
For all the giveaways we did this week, past week. If you're not following us on Instagram, you should. @_ Supermamas. Paulina is @IamPaulinaLopez. And mm-hmm. I am @BriciaLopez.
Yes.
So, what's up, sister? How was your week? How are you?
I'm good. You know,
how's your pregnancy? Are you still pregnant?
I'm still pregnant. I'm actually gonna, after recording this, I'm heading to my second trimester full anatomy scan for the baby.
Uh-huh.
The ultrasound. The ultrasound where it's a torture for me because that's where you actually have to have your bladder full for the whole time.
Oh.
And my bladder doesn't hold. So it's like they need me to like drink a lot of water before, and I'm, you know, it's gonna be kind of like, this is the one where they're supposed to tell me the sex of the baby. I mean, where they're supposed to determine the sex of the baby.
Oh, okay, got it.
Which I already know, but we're gonna double confirm.
Oh, okay. Do you still have like a slight
No. I was just saying, like, you know, they send me an email and they're like, this is where we'll tell you, and I was like, I already know. So this is what they said. But so yeah, I'm gonna see. Usually I see the baby every time I go, but this time it's like I see the whole thing, like stomach.
I totally forgot what that was. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
going through that all over again. Like the pregnancy phase, you know? Like I already kind of forgot about all that stuff.
But, you know, because I am a geriatric mother. Is that what you call it? Geriatric?
I don't know. Is that what you call it?
No. Is that the right word? Geriatric? Like old? You know, since I'm 35.
You're asking the wrong person.
You know, it's so funny how they make you feel like you're like an old mother.
At 35?
At 35. I've been to the doctor so many times. I have so many tests done. At this point, I'm like...
Which is not... You've never had those, but they were past two pregnancies, right?
No. Like, I would go once a month and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Yeah, I feel like you're a doctor all the time.
I'm there all the freaking time.
That's why I'm like, can you add your doctor appointments to the calendar? Because I... I'll schedule something and you'll be like, oh, but I have to go to the doctor. I'm like, again?
Like you saw it. I scheduled three things for the past, for the next 2 weeks because they have me like today, then I have to go just my regular consult. And then now they have me in physical therapy. So I have like all these things. And then they're like, every time I go, they hand me a paper saying like, now you do this, you need to do this blood test and that blood test and this test. And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, I know my baby's 100%, you know, good at this point, but I don't know. They want to keep confirming because, you know, as the months go by, I'm getting older.
What? Is that really how it works? No,
I don't know, but that's how they make me feel. You know, it's like more and more tests, but you know, good. I mean, right now I'm like in the 4 to 6 month where everything's cool, you know, like everything feels good. I can do things. I washed my car yesterday by myself with the kids. That was fun.
Why?
because it was hot.
Oh.
It was hot and I was like, let's go wash my car. So we did and it was fun.
Oh, that's fun.
They were full of mud. You know?
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
I was watering the plants and the baby kept coming to me and like getting wet on purpose. I'm like, okay. And he was just running through like the hose and he was like,
kids love water. They love water. So, you know, I mean, they were quote unquote helping me, you know, but it was fun. So, you know,
now that you could wash your car in your driveway,
whatever I want. I actually really like, I'm really, really enjoying being at home. Like, I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to be there. I cooked.
I feel
yesterday.
You, man. What? Hello. That's why I do that. I gardening on the weekends. I don't want to go anywhere.
I was like, this is fun. And then Krista was like, let's go to the park. I'm like, no, why? I don't want to go anywhere. So, yeah, my next step is to put, like, swings in the back so we don't have to go anywhere. We just stay there the whole time. Unless, yeah, I don't spend that much money and, you know, it's fun. I just have fun with them at home now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Free labor. They wash my car. I was on top of a chair trying to, like... But when I was done, I was tired and thankfully...
I have like an entire thing, like car wash stuff. Actually, do you want it? When mom and dad moved...
I'm so glad because you always buy things and you end up giving
them to me. No. I didn't buy this. Mom and dad had it. And they gave it to me when they moved.
Oh, really?
They were like, oh, here. He's like, I have this whole like polish kit. I have this whole thing. And I never... I mean, I washed my car.
My car was so dirty and I just...
Dude, hold on. Have you ever washed... your car seat?
Yeah.
Like legitly, like, took out everything, everything. I did that. Holy macaroni. Like,
disgusting.
What?
Disgusting.
The things you find.
Disgusting.
I mean, like, it was, my husband and I were, you know, we were vacuuming. And we took it apart.
Yeah.
It was to this bare bones. Wash everything. And I'm like, are you serious?
I found, like, stale tortillas with yogurt, an old piece of banana. You know, they have little cup holders.
Uh-huh.
So Sabina has one on each side. And I found them as this, like, I put my hand in there yesterday and I was like, ew, what is this? It was like, ugh.
The things you find. If you guys, and if any of you guys have washed your car seat, let us know what you found.
Yep.
Well, this week we have Claudette on our show.
Claudette Wilkins.
Who is an incredible chef and just like a badass all around. Like straight up.
Yeah.
Mom boot camp. Like, she was here laying the law. I was like in the corner.
I was scared of her.
I know. I was scared of her. I was in the corner. You're sitting here, and I was like, dang, I gotta take notes. No mercy.
Mom boot camp for sure.
But she's incredible. She's badass. I love her, love her, love her. You guys are gonna love this episode.
Just a quick warning, there's a lot of swearing.
Yes.
So if you're listening with your children, just, you know,
put up another room.
Yeah, just don't.
Earmuffs.
Just don't.
All right, ladies, enjoy our interview with Claudette Cepeda Wilkins. Hi, Claudette.
Hi.
You dance in here and I started bombarding you questions about Javier Plasencia.
It's okay.
Do all women get that a lot?
Yeah.
You're like, so you work with Javier Plasencia, so how is he? What does he smell like?
I'm telling you, I have a girlfriend. We call him JP. That's like our secret code when we talk about him. Sorry, babe. Sorry, my husband's listening.
So, hi. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You live in San Diego.
Yes.
Shout out. My husband's from San Diego.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And we go there often. I love it. My his cousin just opened a little tea shop.
What's it called?
Holy Matcha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like all over Instagram, right?
Yeah. And I represent a group that has a restaurant right on University. So it's right there in North Park.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, okay, right, yeah. So that's his cousin's place. Cool. Well, anyway, how are you?
I'm not a San Diegan. I don't even know how you call it.
San Diego. San Diego. You know where that movie's from, right?
Yeah.
Oh. I love that movie.
You know what San Diego means, right? Yes.
A well something.
Something about a whale.
A well.
How are you, Claudette?
I'm good. Thank you.
I was reading your bio and I was just like stunned.
I know.
Like I even texted like my friend Betsy and I was like, holy shit. This girl. She's like, I know, right? So you're a chef,
yes,
to say the least.
Yes.
So when, how did you start cooking? Let's just start with that, okay, with your background in food, because I know it's like a long history of your career.
Yeah, I feel like I was born in kitchens. My dad has his youngest sister, is where my family's from, Guadalajara. So his youngest sister had a restaurant my whole life up until they closed it in 2006, I think. But Las Carandias in Guadalajara. So we spent our summers, my mom is from TJ and my dad's from Guadalajara. So we spent our summers in Guadalajara and breaks and everything. And I was sent on a carrier with the stewardess and Idol Mexico when I was 3 months old to Guadalajara. So every by myself. Yeah. But at that point, you could drop off someone at the gate and you can pick them up at the gate. So since I was 3 months old, I would just get sent and my grandma would pick me up at the airport and I would spend all my extra time with them.
I wish we could do that now.
I know, right? I was the only girl of the oldest boy, so I was pretty spoiled in my grandmother's eyes, my grandma Lola. And en paz descanse. So I would always get sent over there and I'd go to the market with my aunt. And Doña Moni was the lady that made the pozole at the restaurant. Only she touched the pozole. Only she made it. If she didn't come in.
And it's a red pozole, right?
Red pozole, ooh, yes. So I got the duty of doing the lechugas, the radish, the limes, and bagging the, you know, fresh waters in the bags with the straw for people that would get to go. But yeah, I was always curious. I was always eating. It's funny, people ask me for food pictures of me when I was little eating or cooking. All of my pictures when I was little, I was eating. Every single one. I was like, I was in the kitchen a lot, but I really loved to eat.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Wait, do you make your pozole de puerco?
Yes, of course.
With the head?
With the head.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
You have to do the proper nixtamalization with the head or else it just doesn't come out right.
Oh, my husband, God. I mean, I haven't tasted your pozole, but like my husband, that's his thing.
Yeah.
And for his birthday a few weeks ago, he made himself pozole. I was like, honey, why don't we get something else? He was like, no, I want to make me pozole. I was like, okay, happy birthday
time,
to you.
Every time we celebrate something, we're like, why don't we have your husband make pozole for us?
Yeah, you have to. You have to. And then that like collagen that comes out of the head makes it nice and thick. Yeah, it's my favorite.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and you have such a, I know, first with JP and now with the pozole. So you have such a huge career in just working in kitchens. You were in Top Chef Mexico. I mean, you are like a legit chef. And then we were like talking more about like your life, uh-huh, you're a mom of two.
Yes.
And then you were a single mom for the most part of your life.
Yeah.
And then now your now husband was in the Marines. So you were kind of been hustling and bustling, mm-hmm, with children.
Yeah.
And that's sort of a common theme here in the show. And I you know, moms are always sort of like, I know so many, for some of the non-mom listeners, they always get scared. Like, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do it when I have children.
I know.
And then we have people like you to come and drop knowledge. So
yeah.
How were you able to navigate being a mom and hustling and moving and traveling and being all over the world, really?
Yeah, well, you know, people always ask me, like, you know, what's my two cents on how to be a mom and have a career? And to me, I just had no other choice. It was literally like I could either, you know, have the government support my family or I can do it. And I never thought of any other way. For me, it was like, okay, I got to work another job. Oh, shit, rent's due. I don't have enough. Okay, I got to go, you know, work an event. And I never gave up. And I think that was partly because I'm a little stubborn and part more so because I wanted to show my kids that nothing should hold you back. You know, even my son, I wanted to be an example for my son to be a strong woman. And hopefully it'll carry over in the relationships he has and how he treats women. And, you know, I've worked for so many people that, you know, saw having kids as a weakness. And, you know, I've often been asked that if I'm being, you know, extra hard on my team, if I'm having problems at home. And it's so funny to me. It has nothing to do. Like, my home life is really good. But to get those questions, it throws me for a loop sometimes that there is still that stigma that, you know, moms can't do it. Like, oh, you have kids. I guess you can't come, huh? And I've never turned down anything. You know, I've always been, you know, whatever gets me one step closer to providing for my family, you know, a good life, and showing my daughter, you know, that this is what strong girls do. And, you know, it doesn't matter what you have and what you don't have, you can still, you know, succeed. And I've never sought out material things. I've never sought out, you know, stardom. It's always just been, I just want to hustle to live a good life, a comfortable life with my kids. And my husband, you know, when we met 7 years ago, we met online on eHarmony.
What?
What? It's not on the bio. We used to lie and say that people, we had a mutual friend, but then it just, you know.
A mutual friend, his first name was E. Yeah.
But, you know, how else do you meet people? You know,
and you had two children at the time, right?
Yeah, I had two kids, and my son was, when we met us, he was seven. 7 + 7. He's 14 this year. Yeah. So when we met him, he was 7, and he only knew me and, you know, and our dynamic, our threesome. And he was kind of thrown for a loop, but it was actually my son that was the like catalyst for me to even get on eHarmony. Cause he was, well, you would always ask me, cause their father was, you know, got remarried and had another kid. And he'd always ask me like, why don't you have a husband or a boyfriend? And at that point I had like Mother Teresa to, so their whole life, they had never met anyone. I just devoted myself to, you know, working really hard every year. My son is now 13, but his first 10 years, we moved 11 times.
Wow.
And every year trying to get something a little bit better, and, you know, moved out of the one bedroom studio to, you know, the one bedroom with two doors. And, and, you know, it's like that every step was like to work towards something.
Mm-hmm.
So when he told me that, it dawned on me that I didn't necessarily need to look for someone for me. It was more of like to complete our family for them, because I didn't want my daughter to grow up with an unhealthy relationship with men, mm-hmm. you know, of never having that father figure. So, you know, I just was like, fuck it. It was on sale. I think it was like a Valentine's Day. It was in February.
You're hilarious.
And I was like, all right, well, let's just, you know, let's see what happens. I'll have one free month. And like the day before, because I was like, I'm not paying for this shit. The day before, I was in a camp. I met my husband and my now husband. And we ended up just developing this really good relationship as friends first. And we broke up 6 months later because he has, you know, my daughter was really, really hyper. And because of his military career, he's got a little bit of, you know, not PTSD, like in a bad sense, but he just gets a little bit worked up if he has like kids running around. Like, he doesn't understand how that dynamic works. He was, at that point,
he's any man, I think.
Yeah. He was 33 with no kids, no previous
marriage.
That sounds
like my husband today. And he never went to the Marines.
I decided to, for the benefit of everyone, to like just cut it off and be like, you know what, let's just, he had met my kids. So I said, you're basically in their life forever now. You know, you're Uncle Jeremy at this point, because I'm not going to have someone come in and out of my kids' life. So he totally understood that. And at birthdays, he was there. And, you know, he's paid for the jumper when I couldn't afford it.
Wow.
And we just stayed best friends. And that year he left for a year to Jordan, he deployed. And before he came back, we, you know, just kept in touch, email. I sent him care packages, you know, sent him everything that he couldn't get over there. And by the
Snickers.
Time he, yeah.
Pozole.
Lucky Charms and Oreos were his favorite. But by the time he got back, we bought a house. And the next May, that August, we bought a house. We just kind of planned it. And he wanted to buy us a house. He said, look at this house. Find it.
You guys were together and he wanted to buy you a house? That dude knew what he was doing.
He knew he was going to get back and get married.
Harmony is the way to go.
I'm not going to get back to you, but here's a house.
we didn't talk. We never put it off the table that he just left and he said, you know, I just got to straighten my head out. And I want to, he's like, I want to be a good, you know, partner and father to the kids. So I need to figure my shit out before I can lead you on or anything. So he left. And by the time he got back, you know, he got back May 5th. My grandma had just passed away and he moved right in with us. We bought a house that August and then we got married the next March and he left again for another year.
Wow.
Hardcore. And then all this time you were holding down, like, by this time you already had like a one job, right? You were holding down two jobs by this time.
Yeah. At this point, we, you know, 7 years ago, I had two jobs, actually. I worked for a nonprofit in the day because admin job pays better than kitchen jobs. So I have like a Jane of all trades, master of none. Once he came in, I was able to stop the nonprofit and then go straight to kitchens and just at that point pursue my career. He came home and then I left for 3 weeks for Europe. Wow. I call it my eat, pray, love trip.
Oh my.
I needed to discover myself a little bit and figure out what I wanted to do. I had left a job that it was a restaurant opening and it really, really like took it all out of me. And he came home and I said, you know, I just feel like you.
Restaurants will do that to you, honey.
This one did it more than any other ones had because I had opened several restaurants before, but I felt like this one, it just took all the creative spark out of me. I didn't really want to do it as a career anymore. I felt like I was just punching in and out, and that wasn't something that that's not why I started this career. So I told him my friend was leaving for Europe to Barcelona, Portugal, and Marrakesh, and I was like, I need to go. And it was my 30th birthday. So I said, I just need to go.
You're so young. My goodness.
Okay. So I left. This was, well, now 3 years ago, and I left on that trip. And at Marrakesh, I think, solidified the fact that I needed to cook Mexican food and I needed to go back to my roots and
Morocco, right?
Morocco, yeah. And just because, I mean, Morocco is so similar to Mexico in the sense of they just cook with what's in front of them. They stay true to their roots. They cook all the animal. Nothing goes to waste. And they really put a lot of love in their food. And I came home with all these, you know, beautiful spices that I was taken to this spice market that only like locals go there. And I had to get permission. And they thought I was Indian. So they let me in because I have brown hair, brown eyes. Yeah. So I covered all my tattoos so they couldn't see them. And I went into the market. I came home with like 1 pound of saffron for $18. And that's like,
what?
Crazy. Yeah.
Oh my God.
African saffron. And that's so that's like the experience for me that, you know, traveling feeds my soul. I feel like I've always considered myself a little bit of a gypsy. And that really just kind of came home a new person. And then, you know, I met Javier the following year, and that just, I think I am exactly like people, you know, I do believe that you get put in places and things happen for a reason, and I'm a little witchy when it comes to that stuff, so I just let things happen.
We all
happen.
Are.
Yeah.
you're in the right space.
Yeah. You're in the right place.
You're in the right space, honey.
So, yeah, I mean, I could go on and on about everything that I've been through, but I feel like I'm barely coming into my own. And it's funny, people see me and they're like, oh my God, you have two kids and you look so young. I feel like I've lived two lifetimes for sure. The shit that we've gone through, I feel like I've been put through the ringer, and now I'm being able to kind of enjoy a little bit. And now it's the balance of, okay, say no, learn to say no for things that don't benefit our family, but put myself out there, you know. And, you know, I have a story to tell that people, to me, it's just like, well, it's been a shit show, but if you want me to tell it to you, I'll tell it to you. You know, to me, it's our life, and my kids, they don't get it either. When I got Top Chef Mexico, they were like, so you're leaving again? Okay, well, that's cool. Because they know when I go, my husband does extra things to like make them feel like I'm not missing anything. They take go to the movies more often. They go eat out more often. And all the fun things that teenagers like to do. And with me, you know, in mom's home, mom's boring. Mom cooks and mom says no. And so I
mom's
feel like
strict.
Mom's strict. I'm the bad cop for sure.
Wait, aren't all moms though?
I think so, right?
My mom let us get away with all kinds of shit. If I didn't feel like going to school, she'd be like, oh, just tell them you have a stomachache. Oh, so, really? My mom was very, very much like mom. The sweet. To this day, my mom's like that with my kids. Oh, she said she has a stomachache. She can't go to school. I'm like, bullshit, she's going to school. No.
When I was
put
away,
some Windex on it. Like, I know.
When I was away a few weeks ago, my mom texted me. She's like, oh, Krista doesn't want to go to school because, and I was like, why? She's like, because her eyelashes hurt. And I was like, okay. And she literally didn't go to school because her eyelashes were hurting. And mom was like, ha, 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 she's so funny. And I was like, but you still didn't let her go to school because her eyelashes were hurting. Yeah. Okay. I was like,
oh, smart little girl.
She knows how to play. That's the thing. Kids know who to play.
They do. They certainly do. Yeah.
So, I mean, I know, I mean, we're from the restaurant industry, and I think a lot of people out there maybe are thinking about pursuing either, you know, a job somewhere along the food. And both the three of us know that even though there's three women here in the food industry, it's very rare, mm-hmm. right? Like even today, even though there's more now today, I mean, even looking at our restaurant and mm-hmm. seeing the shift that's happened in the restaurant as far as women doing the work. And sometimes I go in our kitchen and it's funny to me, all the women are, you know, just like really like hustling and their men are just sort of like prepping. And I'm like, huh, look at you guys. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And did you have that? Do you currently have that experience or going into kitchens today? And how do you deal with sort of situations like that? Like when you were saying that, you know, when you go and apply or you go and, you know, I'm not going to say audition, interview for a job. Do you still get those sort of, do you see it when the males are kind of like, well, like, are you going to be able to get here on time because you have kids? Like, do you still get those looks?
Yeah.
Or what are like the worst things people have asked you or said to you?
The worst thing was when I was pregnant with my daughter. I had my son when I was 18, my daughter when I was 21. And when I was pregnant with my son, somebody asked me, what can't you do? Basically, it was just kind of like he had given up on me as an employee. So he's like, so what can't you do? I was like, oh, well, I can still do everything. Like, I doesn't mean I'm handicapped. I worked with my son. I literally had him July 7th, and I worked from home, and then I took 1 week off. With my daughter, she was born Labor Day, September 3rd. I went back to school September 5th.
Wow. Like,
no.
What?
Because I didn't breastfeed either one of them because I couldn't. Like, there was, if it's for me, I was a single mom trying to breastfeed and right. keep a job yeah, and right, go to school. Right. It was just like, I'm just going to be realistic. And I know that there's people that the breastfeeding advocates, it just didn't work for my situation. But I always felt like I had something to prove. I couldn't be that weak person that they were going to assume that I was going mm-hmm. to be. Mm-hmm. And I was in a, Italian. I was learning Italian when I was pregnant with my daughter. And my professor saw me pregnant at the beginning of the semester and she just wrote me off a little bit. And when she saw me come back 2 days after I had her and I was no longer pregnant, she wrote me this amazing letter to get a scholarship for women to pay for school, basically. But she was like, I honestly thought you were never going to come back. And I got a full scholarship. I got $10,000 to pay off some of my student loans because of that letter.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Damn, girl.
But yeah, I mean, to me, I'm a gypsy. I'm very curious about life and experiencing things. So I'm always doing, you know, random things that sometimes take a little bit of my time. But for me, it's like personal growth. And I feel like mm-hmm. I have to do it in order to become a better person. But I just, you know, when I hear people say that, or, you know, in Bracero, by the time I left, my kitchen was more females than males. And they, women are just better at multitasking.
Yeah.
There's just no, you can't say that we're not. And we're better. And, you know, the problem was that if I was, you know, if I was strict with someone, if I, you know, was a little bit harder, all they'd have to do with the guys, it was always the guys complaining. And then all they had to do was go and tell the owner, oh, you know, chef's being really mean. And like, you know, she's really working us hard. And I turn around and I was like, you know what? If I had a dick between my legs, this wouldn't be a conversation.
Yeah.
I would just be a good leader.
Yeah,
but because I'm a woman, she's being a bitch. It must be that time of the month, you know. Yeah. That still to this day happens, no matter what the person says. Oh no, you know, yeah, I'm, you know, pro woman. The second you actually have a woman in front of you, it changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like there's very few men that are strong enough to let a woman lead. And then I have other friends that their entire kitchen is women. Javier. For instance, mm-hmm. his life is ran by women. You know, between his PR, between his you know, daughters, between his ex-wife, she does. You know, they run the industry or his business mm-hmm. to make sure.
Ludo
that it's,
too. We had Ludo's wife here.
Yeah, yeah,
she
yeah.
runs Ludo.
Yeah, and it's like the most strongest men, or you know, more. You know, at least in the public eye, their life is coordinated by women.
That's
you know,
true.
And that's so you can't when I hear that, it just kind of not hurts me in the sense that it hurts my feelings, but it more hurts me for my daughter. I'm mm-hmm. like, what is she going to have to deal with? You know, like hopefully it's progressed a little bit by the time she gets into the workforce. Mm-hmm. But it, that's my main reason that I like push myself to be stronger. And I don't, you know, I'm never going to apologize for being, you know, strict or for being having standards, because those standards are what got me where I'm at, you know, and having really, you know, hard chefs. My mentor was very, you know, Gavin Kaysen, when I worked for him, it was, he never yelled. He never was very, very much composed. But the second you fucked up, like, he was going to tell you. And it wasn't in a nasty way. It wasn't yelling at you, but you'd know. And I think for me, personally, I take it more to heart when someone's disappointed in me than when they're mad at me.
Right.
So that's kind of my approach. It's like, you know, I thought you were better than that. You know, like, yeah, you could have done better than that. And that's my approach as being a chef. And, you know, sometimes when even young men, millennials, see a strong female, they don't understand how to perceive it. And they think that you're just being mean because you're a bitch. You know, and it's just like, oh, it can't possibly be because you're a dumbass. It can't possibly be because you are doing something you're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I don't.
That's so true. When my dad left, you know, my dad ran the business for such a long time. And he had a, you know, all the people, it was a different culture than it is today here in the, on a restaurant. So my dad left and we were left behind with like all the staff, and they were mainly male. It was very hard for them to accept us. Mm-hmm. And I mean, personally, for me to accept me, whatever I would say, they would be like, okay. And they would turn around and ask my dad. And I was like, he no longer works here. Well, okay. And then they would wait until my dad would get here, give him a list of complaints about me. And so it was just really, that transition was hard. And
but we fired everyone. Yeah,
you gotta clean house sometimes.
But you know, like, I had to like really step into this other persona of me and like really set my boundaries. And now it's totally different. But it took time. It took years, you know, to make that change, because people think that, oh, if he's, she's a man, he has to be a man, right? That gives orders. If it's a woman, it's not really valid. Oh, yeah, 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 whatever. And then they would, that would just like infuriate me so much. I remember like crying here in the office, like, why not? Like, it was just, I would just get really, really frustrated. And I remember like, they recently did an interview on you, and you mentioned something. You reminded me that my dad said that as a woman, you're stronger because you have the leadership, but also you have you're sensitive, and you're like, you have all these other characteristics that men don't have, and you have an advantage over them. And then I was like, that's true. Like, I think that's the way that I've earned the trust and the loyalty from my employees, is just being like a human to them, you know, and It's just a different culture. But it was really hard. That transition was hard, at least for me. Brisa has always been boss, but like for me, it was you know, I was always very sensitive, and I was like, oh my God, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was hard for me, but I learned to do that, and I see where you're coming from.
Yeah. You know, and women too, we have a capability of displaying empathy, and that men don't have. So I think that's to my advantage, you know. And I don't consider crying, or, you know, because I'm emotional. I'm a hard ass, but I get emotional if I have to, or if I talk about my kids or certain points. But to me, it's like, my, you know, crying doesn't make me weak. Absolutely not. It means that I'm controlling. I'm aware of my feelings and I can express them. And that's just sometimes a byproduct of it. But I can still, you know, I read this once and then I said it and people laugh, but it's like, I could still slit your throat with tears running down my eyes. Like, I have, to me, it's like that metaphor.
That's an Instagram quote.
To me, it's like the metaphor of still having to be, you know, a warrior, even though you have emotions. Like,
Thank you for that.
Let me move.
I'm going to tattoo that on my arm.
Well, because I, you know, and one of my tattoos is a Hanya mask. All my tattoos are Japanese mythology creatures. But so the Hanya mask is a female. It's a female in full rage, full jealousy, full passion. It's a crazy woman. And right? Like, this is the other side. Every woman has it, you know?
But oh, hell
like,
yeah. Everybody's focus. Yes. Every woman's crazy.
Every single
especially
one.
Mexican.
Hell yes.
My husband can attest to that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do not mess with my children or my men.
Yeah. I know. Let's move away from that. So how do you evoke that into your children? And not to be crazy, you know, creatures, although we all are, again. But we always talk about this in the show. You know, I just see you and I hear you and I'm just like, wow. Yeah. Like, you know, you were 18. You knew what life was about. You had children. You knew you had to survive. There was just no other way. What of our children who we're trying to provide and we're like protecting them, and you're like, I don't want you to go through what I want. what do you think about them having a little bit of struggle, and what do you think you could do to show them a little bit of struggle? What do you do today to not let them think like
life's shit's easy? Yeah. Well, that's part of why they like when I leave, because they, you know, my son's been washing his own laundry since he was in third grade. He had a little stool. He knew how to work the machine, because I was like, I can't do everything. You're going to have to help. Like, you're the man of the house. This is your responsibility, is to do this. And now he has, you know, they have chores. They have a bank account, a savings account. And every single time we have a little chart, and I tax them on things that they do wrong. You know, you left food in your room. That's $5.
What?
We're not going to leave food in your room. Like, that's flies. That's gross. Like, you're disgusting. And, there's pee on the seat. James, that's $5. And so what I do is I have like another savings account, and I push the money there. And then when they do good stuff, I push it back. So to them, it's like they're getting money, but it's really just their money going in circles.
That's amazing. That's an awesome tip.
But yeah, I've never treated my kids like kids. I've always been, because, and people sometimes say like, oh, you can't be your kids' friends. You can, to a certain extent. You have to understand and teach them that there's that line of, I'm your mom when I'm your mom. Like, when you fuck up, I'm going to be your mom. And I'm not going to be nice about it. Like, if you do something wrong, or you do something that requires me to call you to your attention, it's going to happen. But don't make me be your mom. Like, let's have fun. Let's have a good time. Let's, you know, when you have something to do, do it. Don't lie to me, because I can smell a lie a mile away. You know, like, my daughter yesterday was climbed on the roof after I told her not to, and she forgot her cell phone on the roof. So she went looking for it. And lo and behold, it's on the roof after I told her not to. So I looked at her, and she blatantly said, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I was like, how the hell did your phone get on the roof then? I was like, oh, let me guess. It was a ghost. She's like, I don't know. I don't know where it got there. And so she stuck to her guns. And it's like, part, I can see myself in her, that she's just so stubborn. She's just not going to say that it was her. So I took everything away from her. And I was like, you know what? You guys are so much more lucky than other kids. Like, yeah. I spend a lot of time in Mexico, and, you know, in these small villages where it's like, these kids, I take things for them, or I buy groceries for one of the families that I go visit sometimes. And it's like, those kids have nothing. Mm-hmm. And they are so appreciative of just seeing someone from, you know, mm-hmm. from America. And they're, you know, they're starstruck sometimes. And I'm like, you know, my kids, you have it so freaking easy. You have a TV hanging on your wall. You have an iPhone 7. You have, you know, everything given to you.
Yeah.
And you can't take that shit for granted. Like, That's true. Have no problems taking things away. And you're on restriction. Like, grounding is still a thing. And if the dishes are dirty when I ask you to clean them, you're on restriction. And
restriction, is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Isn't like, that from a school term?
You're on restriction. Like, there's just no...
It's restriction.
Well, grounded doesn't...
Yeah, yeah, kids, you're right.
Like, they're teenagers, so they like being in their room held up. I can't ground them and send them to their room. My daughter doesn't get out of her room. You know, so it's like taking things away. What hit them where it hurts. And for them right now, it's technology.
Right, of course, yeah.
Take everything away. You know, you have homework.
I'm turning the Wi-Fi off.
Yeah, I changed the Wi-Fi password. You know, so they don't... They can't get on to, even if they're with their friends outside, you know... It's more of a grounding for them. It's more of a restriction if I tell them to go outside. It's like, go outside and have fun. No! To them, that's being in trouble.
That's hilarious.
But we don't treat them like they're special. And I tell them, you know, everything can go away in a day. When I was in ninth grade, my dad had a really bad car accident and became disabled. So we basically moved from a house we owned with a pool in the backyard, and everything was repossessed, the house, the cars, everything. And we moved into a one bedroom apartment. So I know what that's like to have, you know, a comfortable life, and to not be to be a little bit oblivious on how good you have it, and then literally have it all taken away from you. So I never let them feel like they just have it good. You know, like, no, I want to buy shoes. I just bought you shoes a month ago. Like, no, oh, they're dirty. Wash them. How about that? That's a crazy idea. I'm not going to wash them for you. You made them dirty. You clean them. You know, and we have a rule of there when, you know, James starts high school in August. When he graduates high school, he's on that path, you know, already for college. Neither one of them, if they're going to go to college, they have to leave San Diego. They have to leave the nest. Like, we're not paying for them. Like, we're telling them, if you want to go to college, absolutely go away. Like, go somewhere else. See the world. You know, my daughter's not going to have a quinceañera. I had a quinceañera, and I wish somebody had offered me a trip somewhere. You know, like, let's go to Europe. that's not going to happen. They're not going to have that life because I want them to see something outside of their bubble, you know, that be culturally aware that there are people like suffering in the world. I spent two weeks in Tanzania working with the farmers at the base of Kilimanjaro with the nonprofit that I was working with. And I literally ate rice and beans every single day for 2 weeks. And you come home going, I don't want to eat rice and beans ever again. But to them, that's just life. What they have to do. Like, you know, they're literally cutting down trees to make charcoal to survive, but they don't understand that they're like literally affecting their environment. They're deforesting Kilimanjaro, you know? And so I came home and I told my kids, like, you have no idea how good you have it. Like this. So I always, that's very much a conversation piece at home of there's kids and people that don't have what we have. So we mm-hmm. have to be grateful. And we didn't have what we have now, you know, when James was little. And I had to, you know, ask for money to buy milk. And my lights got turned off often to not be, you know, my mom didn't have a job. And she still somehow is a miracle worker and made it work and would pay my SDG&E bill when it got shut off. But having my mom in my life and she's the biggest reason why I can do what I do.
Did you start this with your children since they were like very little?
Absolutely. Yeah. When James was one, he could have a conversation with another. I never baby talked. He could have a conversation with an adult and I would come home and he was 2 years old and he'd be like, how was your day? He's a very old soul, my son. But it was always like, I don't have money for that. There was never tantrums in the grocery store because it was very black and white of mom can't afford it. Like, you want that? Cool. We can't eat for the rest of the week, you know? Like, it was never hidden, the fact that. And some people will say, well, you should, you know, kids are too innocent to tell them that. But if you're in that situation, mm-hmm. being honest with them is much better than lying to them and saying, like,
all the time,
oh, yeah, we could do it. And then you suffer,
right?
You know, for you trying to be.
You give them a fake privilege life.
Yeah.
Which is the worst to have.
Yeah.
Like, fake privilege is actually worse than real privilege. Yeah. Okay, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll come back with your Super Mama pick or tip of the week. We'll be right back.
Great, though.
I'm all here taking notes. We're back with our Super Mama pick or tip of the week. Claudette.
Yes.
Do you have a pick or a tip?
My tip?
Besides laying down the law at the house.
My tip is to have fun. Have fun with your kids. Like, recently I went bowling with the kids and I beat my son the first round. But I think that's the best way to decompress, even if it's something inexpensive, going to the beach. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get so caught up in our lives that we just go, oh, I don't have time. Like, literally leave your phone at home and go for 20 minutes for ice cream or, you know, go to the park.
That sounds like impossible thing to do because people are always like, but if I take my phone, how am I going to take a picture of me and him taking an ice cream? Right?
Yeah. And like, everyone horrible? Looks at their kids through their phone and it's like, your kids are right in front of you. Like, put the phone down. Your kids don't even know what you look like.
Yeah.
You know, and then to me, that's my tip is like, just enjoy time. Enjoy your time with your kids. When I came home from Top Chef, I didn't have my phone for 3 months, you know, so they literally take everything away from you. So I learned to not have my phone with me. And that was, at first was like,
torture.
I was like a crackhead. Like, where's my phone? I wonder if someone's texting me. I'm missing texts. I'm sure I am. And when I got it, it was so easy for me to just put it down now. Like, now I just, and when I'm with people, when I'm having a conversation, when I'm at dinner, my phone isn't even out. Like, I feel like that's a respect to the people that I'm with.
Yeah, for sure.
So my tip is for sure, turn your phone off and enjoy your family. Enjoy your kids. Let them see you, hear you laugh, and not have you see you only stressed, you know?
That's a good one.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Well,
we feel the emotions flowing.
Paulina, your pick or tip?
Yes. This is kind of related to food, I guess, but not really. Well, as you all know, I am pregnant. And
for the third time?
For the third time. Yeah.
On purpose.
On purpose. Nice. Not an accident or a surprise.
It was not a surprise. But my sister would say otherwise. I actually... So
the whole
I
conversation. She's not on birth control. Oh. It's on purpose. Anyway, keep going.
So I... every other pregnancy, I would just like really just get the... prenatals that the hospital would give me. But this time I wanted to try something different because I really, really hate taking pills. I don't know why. Right now I was like, why do I force my kids to take pills when I hate it, right? I'm a baby when it comes to that because I don't like the flavor of it in my mouth. I just like this whole thing. But I actually found these really good pills that I'm taking, and actually now, like, I'm being very good at taking my prenatals. They're the new chapter, perfect prenatal multivitamins. But I really specifically sucked at taking the fish oil, the DHA, because, mm-hmm, like, you know, that taste fish is burps. Horrible. Oh, yes. Awful. So I found some that are Nordic Naturals, and they're actually strawberry flavor. I swear. So
what kind of fish is that?
I don't know. But so the coating is strawberry, and then the other multivitamins have, like, fruits in it. So it's like, take, like, practically like,
so
candy.
Do you, like, burp fish with strawberry?
No, I don't. There's no burping.
Tilapia with a strawberry sauce. What?
No, there's no
you're fish. Like, huh, idea.
Yeah.
Sea bass with a strawberry reduction. I get it. Yes.
Kind of like that. Sure. But it hasn't been difficult. I taste the strawberry and I'm like, oh, it's pleasant. It's actually pleasant for me to take them because I have to take them like 4 times a day. So it hasn't been hard. So if you're like me, you know, very picky with your stuff, I really highly recommend those. They're all organic, you know, like top of the line. They're a little bit pricey, but they're worth it. Believe me, I don't have to be like, ugh.
You gotta pay for that tilapia.
Yeah. Well, you know, because in the other times I would take it and be like, ugh. You know, and my husband would look at me like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I just took a pill. You know, but now it's just like, I just take them and it's just like pleasant for me to take them. I don't have that like, ugh, I have to take them. Now it's like, I just take them. Yeah. So that's my tip for the week. If you're pregnant. Like,
my pick is going to be a product that I just got for my child. I just actually bought my baby a kitchen for the first time. Because the teacher recommended we do some, she didn't call it a role playing. It was like pretend play.
Play.
He's 2. So he's like, you have to pretend play. Get him a kitchen. I got him a little kitchen. And I got him these Melissa and Doug cutting food set. And that is such a beautiful... I didn't know he was going to take at it so much. Every morning when he wakes up, he runs to his kitchen and gets the stuff and starts cutting his food.
Yeah.
So they're like little wooden toys that it comes with a little knife.
Yeah.
And it's actually Velcro that holds it together. Uh-huh. So he cuts it and he cuts all the pieces and he really enjoys himself. I got him that one in a 6-pack of eggs. Yeah. So he just loves cutting his eggs and his fruit in the morning and it's really cute. So... that's my pick.
Actually, that brand used to be very expensive because when I first had Krista, that was a luxury. Like if you wanted to
really?
Melissa and Doug. But now they have them everywhere. Like, no, I found them at Ross for like $5. So because my
hard
kids.
Times,
yeah, hard times. For real. I seriously go to Ross and look for Melissa and Doug because they have all kinds of cute stuff. My kids has like the cake, the pancakes, all that. And they love it because of Velcro. And they, it's very easy for their hands and they're all wood. I love those toys too.
Oh, nice.
Every once in a while, I get the hankering for having a kid so I can do it the right way instead of being 18 right years way. Old and like winging it the way I did. But then I realize I really don't want another baby. Yeah. I have a 13-year-old and my husband's a baby. So he's like, that's my 3.
Believe me. Yeah.
You're like, you did real pretend play. You were like doing dishes. They were like real doing. We're all in the little kitchen. You're like, no, he was actually cutting the food.
His laundry. Yeah.
He was actually making me eggs at 2 years old.
Yeah.
He was not pretending. He was actually doing it. So I think you're doing okay.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Claudette. You're so blessed and so happy that you
thanks for having
actually
me.
Took the time to come out here being so busy. Where can girls find you? How can they follow you? How can they go eat your food?
Where can they get some motherhood advice?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, in San Diego,
host like a mom boot camp.
I'm currently, we're building out a restaurant that I'll be the executive chef at the end of this year in Point Loma in San Diego. So that'll be El Jardin. Nice. It's got its own garden. I've designed all the kitchen. Pretty much half of the decorative work and everything that's in it is parts of me. It's me going to Mexico and finding these.
It's your kitchen.
It's my kitchen. Yeah. The plates are made. Half of them are made in Oaxaca. The other half in Guadalajara.
Oh, hell, girl. So, I'm going to be there.
That's
2018, you said you guys are opening.
Yeah. January 2018. 2018, we'll be there. In the meantime, I'm the R&D chef for Rise and Shine Group. So I'm at all the restaurants, Breakfast Republics. We're opening up a pizza joint. Not pizza joint, but it's a Pizza Republic. It'll be wood fire pizzas and pastas. That's my menu. Mm-hmm. And then a different breakfast concept, a little bit more hipster, more LA, like squirrel meets kismet, okay, kind of thing. That'll be in North Park, right across the street from Holy Matcha. Nice. Yeah, right across the street. So yeah, I'm all over San Diego, but you can actually find me too on Instagram. I'm always kind of posting where I'm at. Mm-hmm. So at Claudette Zepeda Wilkins, very long Mexican name. I got to give my husband a little bit of credit. So I have to throw in his last name there.
You have.
I feel
to.
You.
Yeah. I feel you, girl. I'm a hyphen kind of girl.
Yeah.
So I'm going to change my last name. I have
it. Finally.
I'm keeping Lopez my middle name.
Okay.
So I'm not hyphening it. I'm just keeping the Maitorena name.
I told my husband he needed to take Zepeda. I was like, it'll give you more street cred. Come on. Yeah.
My husband got me with these, like, you know, as a little kid, all boys like think like one day I'm gonna marry a girl and she's gonna take my last name. And I'm like, really? You had to hit me with that one? Yeah. So, yeah.
I know.
Making his kid dream come true.
Nice.
And don't forget to follow us, sisters.
@_Supermamas on Instagram and Twitter. Supermamas Podcast on Facebook. And supermamaspodcast.com on the web. And we are getting closer and closer to the Supermamas Social. So ladies, do not forget to get your tickets.
We are going to have Munchkin. Northgate Markets. And Target's going to be back.
Woohoo!
So awesome. Yeah, when is that?
We are going to be like... May 13th. Saturday, the day before Mother's Day.
Awesome.
We're going to have Lola Land USA coming. We're going to have Jackie from Baby Boy Bakery. She's going to have all her stuff. And Baby Boy Bakery. We're going to have Viva Los Cupcakes. We're going to have... Oh my gosh, I have like a whole list of people. We're going to have...
Swirls.
Oh my God, Khalifa Farms is coming. Farms. Yeah, Love Swirls is back. My Mochila, Boo Boo Ropa, Meru Clothing with their beautiful PJs. We're going to have... Oh my gosh, you have no idea.
It's
like...
It's going to be amazing.
Ergo is going to be there.
Woo-woo.
It's going to be an incredible day. So don't forget to get your tickets, supermamasocial.com. And we're out.
We are out.
Supermamas!
Supermamas. Can you give us a supermamas?
Supermamas!
Bye.